shall direct thy path. Let's look at those two verses one more time. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Father, I pray that you bless the next few minutes that we have together this morning. Lord, we need you. We love you. We thank you for the many blessings you've given to us. We thank you for our church. We pray that as we gather here this morning, as we look at your word, that you would guide us and help us, Lord. We need you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The past 2 weeks we've been building up the theme for the month of January is discovering our purpose. And so the first couple weeks you might have felt, well, I feel pretty good about myself. Look at what the Lord thinks of me and where I'm at. Well, today that's going to change just a little bit. Because you need to understand who you are and who your identity is in Christ. And you need to understand that you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Those are all basic principles that we need to understand. You need to understand the fact that God loves you, that he's forgiven you, that you're his child, and there's nothing you can do that can separate you from God's love. And that's where we are. That's who we are. And because of who we are, because of our being in Christ, it should lead to our doing. Far too many Christians, their doing comes and they find their identity in what they do. When you find your identity in what you do, what happens when you fail or when you let people down? So, yeah, all of us do that, right? We all fail. We all let people down at times. But at the end of the day, when our identity is in Christ and who he's made us to be, that will never change. That's settled. That's secure. And if we're going to discover our purpose, what matters is seeking God's will. What is God's will? I hear a lot of people today. I hear a lot of young people. They get in their last couple years of high school. I always ask the question. I'm sure most of them get tired of hearing this question. So what are you going to do when you graduate? Just like all the questions that people have. You get married and they're like, when are you going to have a baby? And then you have a child and they're like, when's the next one coming? It's like, just leave me alone and don't bug me anymore, right? You know? But I'll ask young people, what are you going to do with your life? Got any plans? What's going to happen after high school? And a lot of times I want to do this, but my parents want me to do this or that, and they have all these different things that come out. A lot of times I don't hear, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Every Christian should desire to do what God wants them to do. Every parent should be pointing their children in a way that when God speaks to them, that they do what God wants them to do. I would never want to hinder my children from being what God wants them to be because I had something I wanted them to do. People ask me oftentimes, you know, you're a pastor and you got 4 kids. What do you want your boys to do? Well, what about my girl? Alyssa could be a great pastor. I could see her doing that. No. But they're like, do you want one of your boys to be? And this is my answer. I want them to be what God wants them to be. I don't have any preconceived ideas. I don't know what God's going to do with them. But my goal and desire is that I will have them in the right spot that when God directs them, they will listen and do what God wants them to do. But far too many times, we have selfish motivation. We want to make sure, well, when we get older, we want our kids to be able to take care of us, so they need a good job to help pay for. God takes care of everything, doesn't he? You got to trust him. And we need to seek his will. Jesus is the ultimate example in Scripture of seeking and submitting to the will of the Father. Jesus said these words in John chapter number 4 and verse 34. Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So we talk about it. We're trying to discover, if you don't know what your purpose is, you're trying to find your purpose. Do you see Jesus' purpose right here in this verse? His meat, his desire, his purpose in life was to do the will of God and to finish what God wanted him to do. Can you think of a better purpose statement? You really can't. The other day, I was at the PD and we were working on a peer support project thing, and being a chaplain, I had to be there to do this thing, and they had to come up with a purpose statement. It took them an hour to come up with a purpose statement. Then one guy in the corner is like, here's a good one, and he said something, and it was like, it's better than all the things that were worked on for an hour, and it was done in 10 seconds. And my thought was, man, why didn't you say something an hour ago and we could have been done with this and out of here? You want to know a great purpose statement? This would be a great purpose statement for our lives. My goal, my purpose in life is to do the will of God and to finish what he wants me to do. Isn't that what Paul said at the end of his life? I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. What a great purpose statement right there. Now, this is the thing. Not only did Jesus say he was about doing the will of the Father, he lived it as well in his life. Luke chapter number 22, before the cross, it says, and he came out and went, and when he went, and he was not wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And you know, you think back to that, and you think back to how Jesus, remember how James and John wanted to be the disciples? They wanted to be on the right hand and the left hand. And their mom even asked special privileges for James and John. And Jesus said, do you know the cup that you'll have to drink? And do you know what they said? We're willing. And Jesus is like, I don't think you understand what that cup is. See, as Jesus was getting ready to die on the cross, that cup was all the suffering that would take place on the cross. That cup was the rejection from the Father. That was sin being placed upon Jesus. And Jesus said, Father, if it be your will, let it pass from me. But Lord, not what I want, what you would have done. That's the way a Christian should live. It's one thing to say, my purpose is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. It's another to say, Lord, I really don't like this, but if this is what you have for me, I'll do it. Think of other examples in the Bible. Mary, you're going to give birth to a child. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. You're not even married yet. And you're going to be pregnant. And in those days, that was a shameful thing. Well, just because society doesn't still show it as a shameful thing, it's still sin and wrong. It doesn't change that. Just because the culture doesn't view something as wrong doesn't mean the Bible changes its view on things either. Just a reminder for us. But as we think about this, Mary, what did she say? Lord, I'll do it. She was willing to do it. Not my will, but I'll do your will, Lord. Let me ask you this morning. Do you know what God's purpose is for you? Do you know what his will is for you? So I don't know, does God specifically, I'm a firm believer. I asked the Lord to reveal to me what I was supposed to do with my life. I'm going to talk more about that at the end this morning. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, pastoring today is exactly what God wanted me to do. That's why there are tough days at this job, and there are days I feel like quitting, but I got nothing else to go to because this is what God called me to do. And that's the thing. You see people where they get in ministry and they quit ministry and they don't last very long. I believe it's because they were never called. When you get called by God, it's what keeps you doing it when the days get tough. It's what keeps you going in the midst of it. And to do anything besides what the Lord wants you to do, I would feel like I'm not doing what God wanted. Seeking God's will above all else. Discovering your purpose begins with seeking God's will above everything else. And what that means is we got to trust him and align our plans to his leading. And it works so much better in life that way. Do you know one way or the other, God is going to do what he wants to do. Right? A great example of that, Moses went to Pharaoh and said, God wants you to let his people go. And Pharaoh thought he ultimately had control. And you know what he said? No. Did the children of Israel get let go? Yes. Was there a lot of pain and suffering before that happened? Yes. Because one way or the other, God's will is going to be done. It will be. God is sovereign. He is over all things. His will be accomplished. And someday we will all be as Jesus is, right? We'll be as he is. He's going to complete that work in us. But he's still working. He's going to continue. But it's better for us We learn to submit and let the Lord have his way. How do we do that? It starts out, number one, by trusting God over your own understanding. By trusting God over your own understanding. A lot of times in our lives, our own inclinations, our own understanding of things gets us in trouble, doesn't it? I think you'd agree with that this morning. One of the reasons why is because we're so limited in what we see. You know, God's up in heaven. He sees the whole picture of everything. He doesn't just see the moment we live in. He sees it all. He understands it all. We don't understand all those things. My sister, a few weeks ago, her garage door started acting crazy. I don't know what happened to it. And somehow I got volunteered to, and I don't even know how I got volunteered. I think it was just given to me to fix. So she has enough pressures and stress in life. I'm going to fix it. So I thought I would just buy another one of the same brand. It didn't work and all that. And Michael says, throw that one away and get a different brand. Go with Chamberlain or whatever it was. So I bought a new garage door opener. Pull it out of the box. When I pull it out of the box, the first thing I look for, and this has changed in my life. It used to be I would find directions and I would set them to the side. But the first thing I looked for when I opened up this box and set everything out, I looked for the directions. It's what I wanted. I wanted to follow them and do it. Interesting thing, there were no directions in that box. I'm even shaking the box around and I'm like trying to figure out, where are these directions? It was just like yesterday, I'm here at church and I was fixing a light downstairs. And this light, lights are pretty simple. Black goes with black and white goes with white. It's not difficult. But they decided to have a pink and a yellow wire in there. And they were open and loose. And I'm like, what do those go to? So you know the first thing I looked for before I hooked it up? The directions. There were no directions in there. It's like they don't do that stuff anymore. Or they know men are not going to look at the, I don't know. But maybe getting close to 40, I'm getting to the point to where directions matter to me. So anyways, after searching the box on this garage door opener, there's a little QR code on there. And it says to scan the QR code. I scan it, and it makes me download this app, and it has step-by-step how to do this garage door opener. My problem is, okay, and this is that might be better it's done this way. I like the full directions because I can look ahead and see other things at the same time. The way this goes, it goes step-by-step, and it doesn't show you past that step what you're supposed to do. So I've got everything laid out, and I'm starting to follow this step-by-step directions. And so you have the garage door opener, and then you got the rail. There's five pieces of the rail. You piece it together. The thing, the plastic thingy that goes that your car, that the garage door connects to, it has it set up a certain way. And this video that they show you, it's not detailed at all. The picture is super tight. Put this on here, okay? What way? There's two different ways you could do this. So I'm looking at the picture, trying to figure out, is this the right way or not? And I get it on there. I'm like, that's got to be right. I go two steps further. I'm like, no, I think that picture looks like it's the opposite of that. So I went back and questioned myself and flipped this thing around. So now I'm there by myself. I use a ladder and things. I get the big thing. It's up in place. I get the rail hooked up. And when I'm done, the next step says you hook the garage door up, and I put it on backwards. Thanks a lot, Stephanie, for that laugh right there. It's backwards. Now, this is the thing. With those garage door things, you have the belt on there. I already released the tensioner. It's on there perfectly. It's ready to go. So in order to go back now, I have to take that belt off, and I have to take it down, and I have to reverse that. You can't just take the piece and flip it. You have to take the whole thing off. And if I would have just gone with that first instinct of it looks right, no, I had to question it. I leaned to my own understanding, and look at the mess I'm in. Say, did you get it finished? No, it's up in the garage, and I got to take it down still and reverse it. If I would have just gone with my gut the first time, it would have been fine. Or you just get Michael to come over and help me. Then it would have helped too. But he's more in the office than on the field anyways. But we trust in our own understanding. And sometimes when we lean to our own understanding, it gets us in trouble. You say, well, why? First of all, because, letter A, God's wisdom is greater than ours. God's understanding, his wisdom, his thoughts, everything about God is greater than us. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. And I am so glad that God's thoughts aren't my thoughts aren't God's thoughts. we would all be in trouble. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Lord knows all things. He knows what's best. And we need to trust him. You say, well, I don't know if I like this path I'm going down. Trust him. He knows what's best. It's the verse that we looked at in Proverbs a few minutes ago, to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lead not to thine own understanding. The Lord's never let us down, has he? He's never let us down. And I let myself down with this garage door opener, and I got to go finish it one of these days. Trust him. Trust him. Because God's wisdom's greater than ours. Let her be. His plans are always for our good. So, Pastor, this just doesn't seem very good. It doesn't mean everything is good. It means he works them for good. Isn't that what the scriptures say? Romans 8:28, we know that some things, few things, no, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You're like, Pastor, how is this going to be good? I don't know. I don't have it all figured out. Why am I in the midst of this? I don't know, but I know that God knows what he's doing, and God is working it for good, however that works. And that's easy to say and preach and to write in your notes. It's another thing to live when you go through it. When you lose a spouse, how's that work together for good? Skylar was here in our last service. When you go blind, how does that work together for good? But God says he does. And you can trust him because God never lets us down. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter number 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God's doing something in us. God's doing a work, and you can trust him in the process. You say, I just don't understand. I didn't get the raise I thought I was going to get. I didn't get the job I thought I was going to get. I didn't get these things. God knows what's going on. And you can trust him today. You can trust him and know that he's got everything under control and he's there for you. I hate puzzles. How many of you like puzzles in the room? My wife loves puzzles. And Matthew, our seven, he loves puzzles. The only puzzles I ever enjoyed were the ones that were those wooden ones that had the big pieces that fit in just perfectly, and you had like seven, and the puzzle was complete. That's the only puzzle. I don't enjoy puzzles at all. But sometimes we look at our lives, and you're going through something, and it's like a piece of that puzzle. You cannot see what the whole picture is going to be. You don't know what you're making. You have one piece. At least when you do a puzzle, most of the time, you have a picture. See, this is what it's going to look like at the end. It's not how life works. As life goes, you got a piece of the puzzle. It's part of your masterpiece, part of God's plan in your life. And you have that piece of the puzzle. You're like, it doesn't make sense. It's not going to, because the whole puzzle is not together. But God is doing a work, and he's going to make it all work and make it all make sense. And when it's all over with, you'll be able to look and be like, that makes sense. But you got to trust him when it's hard to trust him. You got to trust him when you don't know what else to do. And don't let your mind and don't let yourself lead you down a path that you shouldn't go. It's one of the hardest things when we suffer and go through something. Do you realize when you suffer and go through something, your mind is messed up? It's hurt. Things are not emotionally and things inside, you're not going to function correctly. That's a part of grief and the process of those things. And that's why you got to trust God in his book and not let your mind say, well, if God really loved me, he wouldn't have let this happen. If God loved me, no, God loves you. And he's there for you. And God has a plan. And it's part of that puzzle he's putting together with your life. Trust him. And don't lead to your own understanding. Are there areas in your life today where instead of trusting the Lord, you're trusting in yourself and what you think is best? I would encourage you to trust the Lord. He knows what's best. Trust him, even when it's not easy. Number two, we got to learn to submit to God's plan. We have to learn to submit to God's plan. If we're going to be seeking God's will, we got to submit to what the Lord would have us do. You know where that begins, letter A? We got to surrender our desires to Him. We all have desires, goals. We have spiritual desires. We have fleshly desires. We all do. The Bible tells us in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. And look what the rest of the verse says. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I've heard a lot of people totally butcher this verse, what it truly means. It doesn't mean as you delight in God, He's going to let you have whatever you want. But the more you delight in Him, your desires are going to change. And your wants will change. And that's as you delight in Him. We got to surrender to Him. Give Him control. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you took the time to be in Matthew 6, those things would be your food, your clothing, and what you drink. All the things that we need and all the things that we want, God says, you put me first and you seek me, I'll take care of everything else. We got to surrender our desires. Lord, what would you have me do? What do you want? Do you ask that question when you get up? Lord, what would you have me do today? Lord, help me in the decisions that I make. I know some people that get so crazy, they even say, Lord, what clothes should I wear today? You know, you can go as far as you want to with that. And I'm not saying, is it wrong to ask the Lord's advice in everything that you do? I say no. But do you have to go that far with it? I don't know that you got to go that far. But do you ever ask the Lord? Do you ever seek Him? Do you surrender? Do you surrender your desires? You know, it's our lustful, sinful desires that lead us to sin. We should submit those to Him. Lord, I surrender. We don't like to surrender, though. We like it our way. You know, right away at Burger King. Isn't that the old Burger King slogan there? And yet they still couldn't get your burger right and everything else. It's amazing how that works. Surrender our desires. How about this one? This is a tough one. We must give up control. We like control. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. That word acknowledge and has the idea of submission. In all your ways submit to Him. And He'll lead you where you need to go. Gotta learn to submit. I'm one of those, I like to drive, I like control. The other night a friend of mine, his birthday was coming up, and I've been doing some more things with him. We were friends in high school. And it's William's birthday coming up, so we went to a Laker game together the other night. And as we're getting ready to leave, I've been in a car with him before. And we'll just say his driving is not my favorite driving. And if he tunes in ever, Josh, I'm sorry I said that about you, but it's true. So I had my car fueled up, and I prayed before he got there, Lord, help him not want to drive. And thank the Lord, he's like, I really don't feel like driving tonight. Perfect. I drove. And going to the mission and things, getting to the, there, it's a piece of cake. Side roads, everything, right next to all the homeless people. We're driving by, and we're going through Skid Row right there, and they were so scared. I'm like, there's nothing to be scared of. You can walk out here and be just fine. They didn't understand it at all. And, but I like control. Might be half the reason I don't like flying on airplanes. I don't have control. They asked at that peer support meeting at the PD the other day, if you could be a, because they did these icebreakers to get everyone to know each other better. And they're like, if you could be a superhero, who would you be? It's easy. Superman. And then so they asked why. And my opinion is Batman is not really a superhero. He just has a lot of money and all the fancy toys in the car. That's all he is. And he's just a spoiled brat. That's what Batman is. And so that's, Batman doesn't have any superpowers. And then how Batman can beat Superman, I don't understand that. But they have to make money and get you to come back to see more of that stuff. But so the question was asked, so Superman, why Superman? Because I can fly wherever I want. That was my answer. It's so funny, a lot of the cops in the room that time said the exact same thing because they like control over things. It's funny how we all are. We don't like to give up control. In all thy ways acknowledge, in all your ways submit to Him. Bible tells us in Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Submit to Him. Give him control. I remember as a kid, and back in the day, it was, I sound like I'm getting old. Back in the day, when I was a kid, we would go, my brother lived in Chicago area going to Bible college, same college I went to, but we would drive to go see him. You know, it's not like you had GPS. And it's not like you could get on your phone and book your hotels and all that stuff. The internet wasn't even really a thing back when I was a kid. You know, that came along. I'll never forget the modem noise as it's dialing up, and you hear that noise. I'll always remember that and all that good stuff. So before we went on a trip to Chicago, we would go to AAA. And we'd get a map, you know, the map of the whole thing, and then the map for every state, broke it up even more. And for some reason, I loved that stuff. Why I loved it, I really don't know. But anyways, my dad would let me plan the route. He said, I want to go more south, so we stay away. So I planned the route. And, you know, I, to this day, the 15 to the 40, the 40 to the 44, 44 to the 55, to the 80, 94, and there you are, Chicago. Boom. Just like that. And I could probably do that for most. You tell me a state or a city you want to go to, I get you there. You want to go to Tennessee and Nashville, just go the 15 to the 40 and go almost 2,000 miles and you're there. And, so anyways, I had that all figured out. So in the car, I would be the one with the map in my hand. Now, I've thought about this now, imagining like David or William being in the back seat having a map in their hand. I remember my dad missed a freeway he was supposed to be on, and I'm 10 years old. I'm like, Dad, you're on the wrong freeway. I am not on the wrong freeway. I know you know the maps, but I'm going right where I'm supposed to go. Dad, you need to get off and turn around. You need to go. I was GPS before the GPS. And I could just picture one of my kids doing that to me, and me being like, I know what I'm doing. Shut up, kid. But no. And my dad didn't say that to me, and then he ended up turning around, and we ended up getting back where we needed to go. But today we have this GPS thing. It's pretty simple. It tells you where you should go. A lot of times, just follow what it says. There are times where I'm like, I can get there faster a different way. And sometimes I get there a minute or two faster, and sometimes it takes longer. You have a built-in GPS given to you. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And God is there to guide you and to help you in your life. Trusting God is like trusting His divine. He knows the best route and the best way to get where you need to get in life. He knows much better than we do. If we're going to be seeking God's will, it begins by trusting God over our own understanding. It continues as we submit to God's plan. Number three this morning, we see discovering God's will requires active steps of faith and obedience. As the Lord reveals things and as God does things. Do you realize, I want you to look at your Bibles. We're going to look at two passages. I need you to turn to these if you have it. If you don't have it, I'll read them to you. But go to Romans chapter number 1 with me for a minute. Romans chapter 1 and then Genesis 12. Those are the two places we're going to turn. Romans chapter number 1. Romans 1 and verse 17. This is a great lesson for us to learn in life right here. Romans 1, 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What? Let's read it again. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. What we want from God, we want God to say, okay, hey, Brian, here is your life. And here's everything you're going to do. This is how you're going to pass away someday. And this is everything. This is your life. Here you go. That's what we want. It doesn't work that way. Life and the way God designed it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So the Lord at some point is going to test your faith. Be like, hey, here's an area you need to submit to me. And as we submit to Him, we get to that point. And then as something else comes up, and that's what the Christian life is, from faith to faith, to faith, to faith, to faith, to faith, to faith, till it's all over with. So I have people tell me often, Pastor, I haven't grown in my Christian life in a long time. The question I always ask them is, when's the last time God told you to do something and you haven't listened? God's not going to give you more to do till you go back and listen to what He's already told you to do. And this is the thing. We stop because we don't obey and we don't listen. The righteousness of God's revealed from faith to faith. And we need to continue to grow in our faith And so as the Lord gives us something through his word and the Lord helps us with something and we get there, okay, let's grow. Let's do what he tells us. Because we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves, right? Isn't that what we've studied too? And so that's what the Christian life is. When we get stopped in our growth, it's when we don't obey and do what the Lord tells us to do. And you never are stagnant. You're either growing or you're moving backwards. You never stay still. Because you start backsliding, you got a long ways to come back. Because things just keep moving forward. But it's important to discover God's will. It requires steps of faith and obedience. Genesis chapter number 12. You probably thought I forgot about Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis 12. Talk about faith. Right here we see it. Genesis 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation and will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You notice when the Lord talked to Abram, he didn't tell him. He didn't start out and say, okay, Abram, I need you to leave where you are and go to wherever I tell you to go. And after you've been there a while, there's going to be a famine. You need to stay in this certain spot. And later on, I'm going to tell you you're going to have a child. And you're not going to believe me. But you're going to have a child. And all these things. He didn't lay it all out. Because the way life works is, it's from faith to faith. Hey, Abram, the first thing is, you need to leave your country, leave your father's house, leave your family, and go to where I tell you to go. And when he gets there, and then he backslides a little bit by going to Egypt, because God never told him to go to Egypt. He went to Egypt himself. The Lord gives him something else. And it's from faith to faith. And there were moments where his faith waned when he was going to have a child. But then the Lord worked. And his faith grew, and it grew, and it grew. Because the Christian life is from faith to faith. You got to learn to obey and trust God in those moments. Now, we look at Abram. Something that's interesting to note. Do you notice what the first couple words of chapter 12 say? Now the Lord had said. It's a past event. This isn't the first time this isn't God telling him right now. So God had already come to Abraham and told him what to do. Go back a page, in my Bible it's a page back, but go to Genesis chapter number 11 and look down at verse number 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in the Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no children. Look at the next verse. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. You ever read through those and you get a little confused? It's pretty simple. He took a few people with him. Abraham, Sarah, and Lot went along. Now, and look at what it says. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. Did God tell Abram to take his dad and Lot along? No. Do you know what the name Terah means in the Bible? Stumbling block. One of Abram's stumbling blocks in his life was his dad. And God said, you got to separate. Now, where does his dad take him to? Where it says there they went to Haran, right? And dwelt there. Is that where God told him to go? No. That's where dad took him. It wasn't till dad died that Abram actually went where God wanted him to go. So Abram did not obey God completely to begin with. And the consequences of that is, his dad, you look at you look at how long he lived and things and all of that, Terah and that. Did he have to die in that time, or was that God's way of making things go the way they needed to go? Another thought, Lot never was supposed to be on the trip. You know all the trouble that Lot got into? If Lot wouldn't have been on the trip, a lot of those things would never happen. Now you say, well, Lot chose. He did choose. And he chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. But he wasn't supposed to be on the trip. Could that be why Abram felt so, like when you read Abram's plea to God to spare the Sodom and Gomorrah, and he keeps, if there's 50, if there's 40, if there's 30, if there's 20, if there's 10, and he goes all the way down, he's like pleading with God. Do you ever think that he was just feeling a guilty conscience there, that he literally brought Lot on this trip when he wasn't supposed to? Because he didn't obey. And how long did Abram wander and not get to that next step of faith because he didn't obey and do it God's way? I don't have time. I could give you a whole, I did a whole study through the life of Abraham. And that's, when you study people in the Bible, there's a lot you can learn. It's amazing, too, in the Old Testament how names mean so much and what they mean. And so, but Abram didn't do it that way. But then he did. And Abram was a man of faith. But that's the thing, he didn't see the whole picture. Like you and I read how it says that Abram and Sarah are going to have a child when they're old, past that point. And for us, we read it, oh, well, God's going to do what he said. Well, duh, we see it, right? It's all written there for us. We don't and then in our lives, we're like, well, I don't know what's next. Don't you realize God has it all laid out already? Just as we can see how it laid out for Abraham and all the different people in the Bible, God already knows how it's laid out for you and what's going to happen. Discovering God's will requires faith and obedience on our part. The Bible tells us in James 2, verse 26, faith without, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We have to obey and listen. And we got to let, and we think about the fact that God's word, Psalm 119, 105 tells us this, that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It guides us and it helps us. Last week I sprained my ankle, and thank God I'm moving better this week, but it's still bruised, but it's getting better. But the other night, Caroline and I went for a walk, and we walked over right by that spot where I sprained my ankle. If you look at that street and that little sidewalk there, there's a spot about 8 inches where it dips down this far. The rest of it's even. It's just this one little spot that dips. If my foot would have been just 8 inches back or 8 inches forward, I would not have stepped in that and sprained my ankle. So why did you do it? It was dark. I had to watch my Chargers lose before I could do that. Someone asked me earlier, since the Chargers lost, who are you going for? Anybody but the Chiefs. That's my opinion. So that's my opinion there. But because it was dark, I didn't see it. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. It's so much easier to go down a path when it's lit up. And it's wise to do. That's a smart way to live. Don't go walking on sidewalks that are not always level after dark. Trust him. Submit to him. Have faith and obey him. And it's interesting, the next service that we have, we're doing our Sunday night thing, we're on the fruit of faith. Even the faith that we need for the Christian life, it is a fruit of the Spirit that is given to us for our lives. It's not something we have to develop on our own. The faith to move forward for God is something he gives to us through the Spirit. And what a thought. And we'll talk more about that in just a little. It's amazing how these sermons all line up, and I didn't even plan it that way. It's amazing how God does that, the things that he does. Lastly, number four, and we're just about done. Last service I was already done by this time, so I gave you a few extra things I didn't give the last service. Number four, a few practical steps to seeking God's will. It begins, first of all, letter A, pray daily for guidance. Ask God to reveal his will and to align your heart with his. Just pray daily for God's guidance. God, guide me today. Lord, help me to do your will. Help my will to align with your will. Too oftentimes we want God's will to align with our will. And it never should be that way. We should want our will to align with his. Letter B, immerse yourself in Scripture. God's word reveals his character and the guidance for life. People so oftentimes, I just want God to speak to me. It's right here. He will speak to you. It's right here. It's not that difficult. Oh, I want him to speak to me in big, bold letters. Then buy a bigger print Bible. Right? Because it's right here. When I was 16 years old is when I decided it was time to get serious about figuring out what to do with my life. When I was young, I had a desire to be a pastor. I really did. Because, you know, that's, I thought it would be kind of cool and all that. But then you become a teenager and you realize you might think that's cool, but speaking in front of people and doing all those things, I don't think I could do it. So I changed my mind. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I turned 16, and that was, when I turned 16, I started that at that time, every day I was praying and asking God every day to show me what he wanted me to do. And I would read scripture about it. A whole year went by. Every day I know I asked God and begged him. I didn't get anywhere in a year. So my 17th birthday, June 19th of 2001, right at that time as I'm there, I have it all laid out. And I'm like, I'm getting nowhere. So for that summer, I read the Bible 20 chapters a day, prayed for 2 hours a day from June 19th. And then October 17th, it's amazing. We're at a youth rally, and it totally was clear. This is what God wanted me to do, and God wanted me to be a pastor. All I was doing was seeking him. God has a purpose for you. And if you seek it, you will find it. You really will. You don't have to wander through your life. And I know young people are like, but 20, a lot of Bible? I am confident today that where I am today is right where God wants me to be. I have no doubt at all. I think it's worth it. And you say, well, if I do that, does that guarantee? There are no guarantees that God's going to do anything. You know, it took a year and 2 months, 14 months. I don't know if I could have read 20 chapters a day for 14 months. It was almost 2 months, a short 2 months. But I wanted God to, I wanted to know. And I daily begged him for guidance. And I just begged him, I bugged him. And then I immersed myself in scripture. And then the third thing is, act on what you know. Start with small, faithful steps. Trusting that God will reveal more as you move forward. And that's what he does. Sometimes we want the whole picture. Like, you know, when I was 17, let me make sure you understand this. I didn't know then that I was going to pastor. I knew that God called me to preach. I didn't know I was going to pastor a church. I didn't know I was going to be here. I didn't know who I was going to marry. But the Bible does talk about how a pastor should be the husband of one wife. So I was going to have to probably get married, hopefully. I didn't know who my wife was going to be. And even that, I can tell you the time that I took, and I've taken her to the spa at Dana Point, where I prayed for years that God would give me a godly, pretty woman. Say, you said that? Yep, I did. And God gave me both. He did, didn't he? You all know it's true. There's no doubt about it. But I didn't know when God called me to preach how everything else was going to go. How many kids I was going to... It's just a process. Okay, so God wants me to pastor? Okay, Lord, where am I going to go train to do what you want me to do? This is the one for you, okay? You need to submit and go work at a church in Montana and go learn how to hunt.
Okay.
Now, was I always okay and just moved to the next step? Of course not. There was good growth, and then all of a sudden I'd come back here on some things. Hey, well, you're in Montana. You need to trust me on how things are going. And I would say, okay, and I didn't trust him. I moved backwards on things. That was a good growing experience for me. It helped me along the way. But that's what the Christian life, it's just from faith to faith. You don't need to know the whole picture of what you're going to do before you die. You just need to know what you need to do today and tomorrow. And follow and do what the Lord tells you to do for that. You can move forward and move forward from there. Let me ask you this morning as we close, is there an area in your life that you're struggling to trust God? If there's something this morning, I want you to think on that for a second. You got your notes right there. Is there an area in your life right now that you are having a struggle trusting him? It could be finances. It could be serving in some sort of ministry. It could be relationships. It could be your career. It could be whatever the case may be. But if there's something, I want you to do this. I want you to, on your paper, no one else needs to see this. I want you to write down on your paper what area you're struggling in. And then I want you to take that paper and keep it close by this next week. And I want you to pray and ask the Lord to guide you and help you to trust him with that area specifically. And start there. Just trust him. Pray, Lord, help me today to align my will with yours. Help me submit myself to you. Let's move forward for the Lord. And as we discover our purpose, as we're moving along, it goes from realizing our identity in the Lord to learning to submit to him. But you know what makes it easier to submit to him? Is knowing who you are in him already. And why wouldn't you want to submit to him? It's only reasonable after who you are in him to submit to him. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the time that we've had today. Lord, bless your people. And I pray that you'd help each of us take to heart the truths that we've heard today. Lord, help us apply them to our hearts and our lives. Lord, we love you. We need you. We praise you. We thank you for Jesus. And thank you that that wasn't anything bad that just happened right there, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought there was a herd of elephants rushing at me at the pulpit. I was getting ready to duck and hide and cover.